Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
The sun is going down, but there's no better time to hit the links. This is Global Golf Radio, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company, with Ned Michaels and Barney Owlery.
Indeed, it is Wednesday night, 9 o'clock. But hey, we'll take it. We get to talk golf on the radio. Thanks for spending your evening with us. Barney Owlery, he is the head instructor out at Old Hickory. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. And once again, now that we've moved to daylight savings time to the dark side, the guy that cues us up, the sun is right. going down.
She gone.
No, it's been down. But anyhow.
We can still talk golf. Ryan A. Mudd's behind the glass. He's going to press some buttons.
Yes, he will.
And there's actually a lot to talk about in the world of golf. Because Bryson DeChambeau, it turns out, is really good. He may be onto something.
Yes.
A hole-in-one challenge where one of the best, in my opinion, best ball strikers on the planet that probably 90% of Americans have never heard of. They gave him 500 balls in an 8-iron on the European Tour and said, can you make a hole-in-one?
Yep.
He might have. I want to talk, too, about the new rules coming up because some clarification needs to be made. And then there are also some really interesting questions that involve the flag stick and taking drop and local rules. And then Q School is going on, so we need to update what's happening there. You've got a guy, Stoney Crouch, who's doing nicely.
He's doing nicely.
How did he play today?
4-under today.
So he's
at 6-under total, 12-under is leading. There's four sites remaining, and he happens to be in Mobile. And 12-under is currently leading, and we're going to talk more about it later in the show.
There was a site that they used to use down in Florida. It was impossible, this golf. You tried to avoid it unless you had played it and you loved it. Then you went back and you kept going back if you had to. So this is where like Boo Weekly, because it was always windy. Mm-hmm. Fairways were tight, water everywhere. This golf course, I'll give you the name later, has met a bad fate. And the European Tour is traveling all over the world. Justin Rose continues to do what Justin Rose does.
Yes.
Just wins.
Yes.
Just keeps on winning.
Yes.
And we're down to Mexico with the Mayakoba.
Where, that's right.
Remember who won last year?
Yes.
If you ask, okay, players who won twice on the PGA Tour last year, and I gave you all the names, and I said pick one who didn't, this guy would, there's no chance people would think that Patton Kizzire won twice on the PGA Tour last year.
Yes, and so Patton Kizzire wins, and for those who may or may not remember, Ricky Fowler was really charging along very, very nicely, and as I recall, his putting stroke was as fluid and beautiful as it ever has been, and then Patton Kizzire, as I recall, it also wins in a playoff in Hawaii, and so for the longest time was number one in the FedEx Cup points, and as I recall it, winds up being 30th at this year's Tour Championship.
That's right.
So he played so well, I guess, 12 months ago, and then in the wintertime, and then all of a sudden it either started slipping away or maybe wasn't quite as sharp, and then other people stepped their games up. And a guy with two wins, barely, he had the last spot in at the Tour Championship.
You know, you might say, does your motivation change after you've won twice? Is it hard to get up for the tournament and... Because, you know, he's basically got a 3-year exemption.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that year, and then he's got the 2 years that go with it because he won so early. And I want to say that there, if you won twice, although I don't think with these events, if you won twice in the same year, you did get a third year. I may be making that up. But I can tell you, no. Especially in a Ryder Cup year, if anything, you're pressing too hard. Because now you've won twice, and you think of yourself as, I'm supposed to be a 2-time winner this year on the PGA Tour, and I'm not supposed to hit that 8-iron to 20 feet. I'm supposed to hit it to 8 feet. And then you force it and you push it and it bounces into the water. Next thing you know, it's a bogey.
But Ned, I think there's also an issue too, as since you were a touring professional as well, that for the most part, 80% of your money is made in 20% of your events. And his happened to come on the front end of the season.
Yeah, that's right. They would say basically four events a year is where you're going to make most of your money. So especially on the web.com. And I actually want to start there because I Q School to me still brings hives. I will go home in a nervous sweat. And anytime I look at the Q School leaderboard, I kind of want to vomit in my mouth.
So that reminds me of, I forget who it was, but decades and decades and decades ago, some golf writer asked a player going to Q School if his family was here. And it seems that the guy very quickly, and maybe one part joke, but one part dead serious, was like, this is no place for women and children.
It's the truth.
And there's a chance that it's the truth. But as far as I'm concerned, even though we're several minutes into the show, we still haven't exactly previewed the whole show, because I know that coming up later in the show is an I Am So Stupid by my friend Ned Michaels, I believe as it relates to Halloween. And for those who haven't seen it yet, my good friend Ned Michaels, who never ceases to amaze me, there's a little video that involves you as the voice of about a 3-minute video with the USGA that also then involves your kids. And I'm sure we're going to get to talk about that a little bit more in the show as well.
Yeah, we
rightfully
will.
Rightfully so.
That was cool. Thanks for bringing that up. It was a cool
yes.
deal.
Yes.
And we will. We'll go into that. I'll just give you the quick synopsis later in the show. But it's gotten some great traction. And here's how I knew, because if you listen back to one of our shows, for example, you might leave the studio saying, oh, that was pretty good. Or, oh, that was terrible. You don't know. Sometimes you do. If it was really horrible, I'm so stupid style, or if it was really good. But my wife is a tough critic. So I'll show her stuff. I have her listen to stuff. And she rarely is like, hey, that was great. She'll pick it apart, and rightly so. So I played her the video, and she was crying by the end of it.
Nice.
So I didn't even have to ask. Like, this is, 'cause I just, so anyway, USGA did a great job editing it. But let's talk Q School, because Stoney Crouch is 6 under par. They're, as you mentioned, 4 sites.
Yes.
This is second stage for him.
Yes.
First stage, because he had to go to pre-qualifying. So
actually, who is exempt from pre-qualifying for having played in the Canadian Tour.
Ah,
so he was exempt from pre-qualifying,
right.
Thank goodness. And
yes.
Then he went to stage one, which I believe was somewhere outside of Dallas. And from there, he actually had 25 birdies in 4 days of golf when it matters.
This is the real dry mouth stage.
Well, again, every stage gets a little bit tougher. Now, unfortunately for him, he had several bogeys, but nonetheless, I want to say he finished like around 13th or 14th, which then advanced him to stage two, which is taking place right now.
Mm.
And I want to say that there was another site that was going to be in Dallas or in that general area, because he has family out there. So he would have loved to have gone back over there, but instead the chips landed that he winds up going into Mobile. I don't know the name of the golf course, but as I understand it, it's also been raining like crazy down there. And it's my understanding that the golf course is kind of probably flat, I would guess, but also a little tight, short little dog legs. So he'd already known beforehand from a scouting mission that he'd been told that plan on 3 woods off the tee. And then as wet as it is, he said there's mud balls everywhere. Everything's soft. The ball plugs in the fairway. It plugs on the green. There's been rain delays.
They're not playing lift, clean, and place.
Well, they didn't yesterday.
Wow.
I don't know about today.
600 par in those conditions, mud balls at Q School.
So 12 unders leading, mm-hmm. And in particular, also playing as last year's U.S. Amateur champion, and Doc Redman's out there. Scottie Scheffler, another great All-American. He's out there, and so many others that guess what, are going to be the future of the PGA Tour. But nonetheless, they're still having to get through this stage. I'm under the impression there's probably about 60 or 70 players playing, and there's 19 spots available. And so 12 under's leading. There's 2 guys at 12 under. He's at 6, and I believe he's about 27th right now.
He's in a good spot.
He's in a good spot, but evidently it's all bunched up between where he is and minus 11. And in the blink of an eye, if you can shoot some kind of a 61, 62, 63, you can catapult yourself almost the top of the leaderboard.
It sounds like a kind of golf course, too, that you could possibly do that. If you hit every fairway, I mean, short little dog leggy courses, you can sometimes dominate if you're on. Of course, they probably have some nasty Bermuda rough, some grainy Bermuda greens. But some of the names that are in second stage, former tour winners, for goodness sake.
Always. Every year, it never ceases to amaze me how many multimillionaires, Ryder Cup players, guys, you know, that came so close to winning different events at different points in their careers. And now, all of a sudden, the realization that, I'm back at this point in my life. So Stoney naturally is on the front end of his career, But to be like a veteran player and be, let's say, in your early to mid-40s, and now all of a sudden you're having to go against all these hot shots and stuff, and then if you don't advance, oh boy, now what?
That's a tough thing to answer.
It gets a little dark all of a sudden. In the words of my buddy Ricky, you find yourself squeezing the club.
And it's a place where you shoot 76,
and it's over.
Not even Elite Sports Medicine Orthopedic Center can put you back together. Cannot put Humpty Dumpty back together. 76. I remember shooting 78 at second stage, first round, and then played great the rest of the way, but it was done.
Oh yeah,
she was gone. Brutal. I mean, I shot, and the problem, the fact that I remember shooting 8 under in the practice round.
Oh,
why were you keeping score? What are you doing? I made like 10 birdies in the practice round, then shot 78 the next day.
Fantastic.
Anyhow, Elite Sports Medicine, if you have any injuries, Barney, that are keeping you off the golf course, you and I, it's been the summer of sciatic for you.
Yeah.
I've had some SI joint issues, but you and I are back on track, knock on a lot of wood as I'm banging on my head.
We feel almost as good as Ryan Amon.
We don't look that good, though. 615-324-1600, Elite Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Center. They're going to treat you like a tour pro. We will go to the PGA Tour when we come back. Bryson DeChambeau, he did what? Justin Rose, is he really going to switch equipment? Now that is a shut your mouth.
Oh, you know what that means. It's now time for the Starting Up on Global Golf Radio. Starting at golf tee number one, green hat, blue jacket, Marty Howery. Golf tee number two, backwards smash hat, blue American jacket, Michael.
Bravo, Ryan.
The next Michael Buffer.
You see, the later the show is, I think the more delirious he gets. But again, well done.
Did you plan that? Did you tell him to do that?
Well, while you're having a conversation previously, Michaels and Mueller, you don't even want to know all the different things me and him talk about behind the glass, that being one of them.
Is he sending you videos?
No, gosh, no. Not yet. Not like that I'm aware of.
I like the way he does the names. That was good.
I know. That was good.
You know I'm talking about? Michael Buffer? I think that's his name, right? The guy used to do the ring announcer. Let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah, that's right.
Get paid $1 million a pop. That could be you, Ryan Amott. You got to come up with a catchphrase and practice it a lot. And then you're in. Football time in Tennessee.
Sounds like a plan.
Something like that. You know who always has a plan? Uncle Classic Barbershop. They have a plan because you can book online, Barty, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at uncleclassicbarbershop.com. And it's just like you're kind of going back into time, like that Mayberry style where you take your kids with you in there. Everybody gets their hair cut. They have locations now in Bellmead, Brentwood, Cool Springs, Hillwood. They're all over the place. That's my barbershop. Okay, is Justin Rose really going to switch equipment? This cannot be true.
Well, guess what? In his own words, where there's smoke, there might be a little bit of fire. And lo and behold, Justin Rose, who's been with TaylorMade, I think from the infancy of him turning professional, literally from the very first day forward, since 1998, as I recall it, I guess, when he made that pitch at the British Open, at the 1998 British Open that Mark O'Meara winds up winning, I want to say over, was it Byron Watts is who it was? And at Royal Birkdale, as I recall it, and Justin Rose as an amateur, as an 18-year-old,
the guy
finishes
fourth. From the front bunker, Brian Watts.
Brian Watts.
Yeah, you're right.
And, and so that's it. And so since 1998, that Justin Rose has been a TaylorMade player, and now he's going with Japanese company Hamna.
How can it be? How much money are they putting in his bank account? And why does he need money?
Well, here's the next one that you may or may not remember. That as I recall it, back in 1990, it had to have been 1992, that again, another Japanese company offered Ian Woosnam, Curtis Strange, Maruman, Ian Woosnam, Curtis Strange, and Laura Davies all $1 million apiece to play Maruman golf clubs. Mm-hmm. And in the words of my dad, to never be heard of ever again. And so I've always said any equipment change comes with great risk. Now, I'm sure that Justin Rose, who right now this week is the number one player in the world, I got a feeling that he's sitting there thinking, you can give me a set of rental clubs and I'll figure out how to play well. But not so fast, my friend. But in the meantime, for TaylorMade, what I don't know is if it's a situation that Hamna is offering him a fortune or if TaylorMade's kind of like, you know what? We're okay for you to walk because guess what? We still have Jason Day. We still have McIlroy. We still have John Rahm, who, again, we're expecting a lot of great things going forward. We still have Dustin Johnson. And, oh, yeah, there's this guy by the name of Tiger Woods.
Yep.
Yeah.
You think TaylorMade may be trying to clear out some cash to get Tiger into full?
And so, again, in the last 12 months, Sergio Garcia, who finally wins a Masters, or finally wins a major, I guess I should say, they kind of let him walk. Justin Rose, well.
The reason that doesn't make sense to me is look at Patrick Reed. He's got a mixture of clubs, right? So Justin Rose, even if TaylorMade said, hey, we're going to only pay you X amount of dollars, and even if Hamna's doubling it, it's the number one player in the world. Switching equipment. You remember when Phil Mickelson, he wasn't number one in the world, but he was close, switched to Callaway.
Oh, yeah.
During the Ryder Cup.
Oh, yeah.
And he and Tiger played together. I mean, listen, it takes time. You ask any tour player, it's pretty rare that you switch equipment and boom. And I'm talking wholesale, 14 clubs kind of deal. You can switch a driver in and out in a week, a three wood in and out. You may catch fire with a putter, new wedges. That stuff's pretty commonplace. But the whole thing, especially the ball. Now, that may be what he's thinking. I keep this ball. I know what the ball is going to do, so I can tweak the clubs and I can get them where I want them. You know, Sergio, for example, he switched balls. That's the one component and the one element that I think is the hardest thing to change because spin. And look at Bubba Watson.
Oh.
Look no further than Bubba Watson.
What a disaster
when he
that
went to
was.
Volvic.
Yes.
He hit it straighter. He hit it as far, and he was like 121st in greens hit and reg. That year and the year before, he was top 15.
Complete disaster.
615-737-1045. Interesting. Justin Rose might be switching equipment.
Yep.
You know what's? We've talked about this a little bit, but Justin Rose. Think about this year that he had, especially towards the end. He didn't win. I think it was the BMW, right? It was DeChambeau.
That's right.
But he took over. Did Justin Rose the world number one ranking? He didn't win the Tour Championship.
Mm-hmm.
But he won the FedEx Cup.
Yep.
He didn't win in the Ryder Cup, but he won the Ryder Cup. Like, he played nicely, but, you know, you get where I'm going. And he finally now is one. He wins the Turkish Open. He's number one player in the world, although he's soon to be supplanted, apparently, by Dustin Johnson.
Brooks Koepka.
Thank you, Brooks Koepka. I don't get it. I got TaylorMade on my mind. Anyhow. 500 chances. We've seen this done on the hole-in-one challenge on the European Tour, sticking in line with the Turkish Open and the European Tour. Brandon Stone, South African striker of the ball. This guy is fantastic. I met him at the PGA Championship a couple of years ago, Baltstraw. Woo!
Gorgeous golf swing.
Just a flusher. Beautiful action. You give him an 8-iron.
Irons are easy.
Irons are easy for this guy.
That's right.
They give him an 8-iron and 500 balls, and it literally takes Barney all day long.
Yep.
My favorite part, you can find it on Google or Twitter or Golf Channel. My favorite part was the end of the day, the divot pattern that he had established.
Yes, that's right. Oh. That it looked like locust had shown up on that round, that tee.
Oh, it was so sexy. I mean, did you see it? Like, every one of them was in a perfect line as if somebody had come out with a mower and just cut these strips, these divot, these little filet mignons out there.
That's right. Oh. That's exactly how they say it in Paris, isn't it?
Filet mignon. la la. He's bouncing them off the flag. He's dancing them all around. I won't tell you the ending because I don't want to spoil the movie. But they did this before with Molinari.
Yeah, Eduardo Molinari.
Not Francesco, Eduardo. Right. And he couldn't do it.
That's right.
I feel like if I gave you 500 balls in an 8-iron, you could do it.
I'd dial that sucker in pretty easy.
How many hole-in-ones do you have?
I think I have 5. But if you give me enough mulligans, I'll win the U.S. Open.
Now, where's this video at, you said?
Just Google Brandon Stone hole-in-one. It's on Golf Channel. It's on Twitter. It's on the European Tour website. Everybody, by the way, on the European Tour chasing Molinari.
Yes.
Francesco, not Eduardo.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Rose is within striking distance as they make their climax to the peak and the summit of the race to Dubai. But it's been a year for this Molinari.
But in the meantime, can I get back to a little shut your mouth of my own?
Yeah.
And get back to Bryson DeChambeau?
Yeah, do it.
Because would you believe me if I told you? So again, let me start with this. Okay. I knew that Bryson DeChambeau was good. I didn't know that at this point in his career, I would call him elite.
Mm.
So now he wins his 3rd out of his last 5 events. And what a darn shame he played so poorly in the Ryder Cup. And he wins his 4th event in the last 6 months. But with all these rapid wins, did you know that Jordan Spieth, it took him 76 events to win 5? And lo and behold, Bryson DeChambeau wins his 5th event in 73 tournaments.
Shut your mouth.
Bryson DeChambeau did something that Jordan Spieth either didn't do or was not able to do. And as I also recall it, Bryson DeChambeau at one point in his career had a stretch of 14 consecutive missed cuts. A guy that won the NCAA, a guy that won the U.S. Amateur, and when he first turned pro, and again, Justin Rose that we just talked about, did he not miss like 18 or 20 cuts in a row?
Look who's number one in the world.
But lo and behold, Bryson DeChambeau has found something, and I also did not realize he has made the jump in 12 months. That 12 months ago, I think it was 99th in the world. He is 5th. He's 5th in the world.
Did you see his press conference when he was talking about the neurological space in his mind?
I've got plenty of that.
It's really interesting. And he basically, I'll try to paraphrase for you. He was saying it's this space in my mind where everything syncs up. And my arms and my hands are down in front of my body and my swing's exactly where I want it. And I know when I'm there and that's where I'm trying to go.
That makes 2 of us.
So I have a theory on this, that your brain, you can take multiple paths, right? So imagine is if you're walking through the forest and you take the same path every single day, right? There's a trail there. All of a sudden, one day you decide to take a different path. First time you go, probably brush up a few leaves, maybe break a few branches. But for the most part, nobody can tell you walked that way. They still think you're going this way. But eventually, if you take the new path enough times, now that's beaten down and the other one's covered with leaves and you can't see where the other one is. Because I'm a firm believer in that you can't forget things. You can't unremember things. But you can replace memories. You can replace habits and patterns. And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about going into a different place in his brain that he has now beaten a path to. He's taken the machete and he's gotten all the foliage out of there. He's knocked down the trees. And he knows how to get to that place in his brain. And I also am a big believer. One of the reasons he's done it is because of this Robo Golf Pro that he works on.
Yes.
And I think you've seen this thing. If you haven't out there, just Google Robo Golf Pro. It looks like a big spider web with kind of 2 arms coming out. And it has a club at the end of it. And you hold the club.
And boy, is it strange.
And it makes the golf swing for you. And all you have to do is hold.
Hold on.
And it's weird at first, but I've been on it before. Scott and I out at Pebble Beach, I'm telling you the difference between you make 20 swings, swing once, we film it, put it on video, make 20 swings, what you're trying to correct on the Robo Pro, and then they film it again, and it's there.
Well, in the meantime, evidently the space in his brain is doing okay, because on Saturday, he went 14 for 14 hitting the fairways, he went 16 for 18 hitting the greens, he was number 1 in par 4 scoring, and had the fewest bogeys in the field. He had 3 bogeys. And I also believe that he had a bounce-back birdie to all 3 of his bogeys. So put it all together.
How many bogeys did he have for the week?
3.
How can you do that?
That's pretty good.
How?
I don't care if you play McCabe from the white tees and play 4 days in a row. That's pretty good.
That's not the difference. There are a lot of differences. But when you talk about elite players, they just don't make mistakes. They don't make bogeys. They make mistakes.
No, so that's it. And so their bad shots turn into par. So my man, mm-hmm. Stoney Crouch, mm-hmm. at Stage 2 Q School, that's where we've got to keep getting to, is when he hits a bad drive or a bad iron shot or a mediocre chip or a so-so putt, that's a par. Because if your good shots turn to par and your bad shots turn into bogeys, doubles, right. and triples, guess what? I guess you're teaching golf at the Old Hickory Country Club.
It's amazing. And I told you these stats before, and I guess I'm patting myself. I'm going Johnny Miller, patting myself on the back. But I brought those stats from 2005, my stats on the web.com tour. I averaged 308 yards off the tee, hit almost 70% of the fairways, had a 34% birdie conversion rate, and had 28 basically putts per round. These are all, Barney, if you compare now to the PGA Tour, web.com tour, these are all still top 5 and top 10 and top 15 yes. numbers. How in the world can you, what
it's
happened?
The space in your brain.
It's
a path in the forest.
Right. So all of a sudden you look back on it and say, God, how did I make that many bogeys? How dumb can I be? I'm so stupid. But it's amazing that you can play hard golf courses on the PGA Tour and make 3 bogeys only for the week, or no bogeys at times.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And Bryson also had a very interesting take on one of the rules that is changing next year about the flag stick. You mind if we go there next?
We can.
All right. Global Golf Radio, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
Ryan A. Mudd, straight from the Ryan A. Mudd playlist. And again, welcome into Global Golf Radio. Barney Alvery, Ben Michaels, Ryan A. Mudd. Weeks and weeks and weeks of Ryan A. Mudd not playing any music. And when we've got the latest time we've had all year, now he plays music. God bless you, Ryan A. Mudd. God bless you. Thank you so much. Folks, sure enough, you are listening to Global Golf Radio. And if you want to join in, maybe have a little commentary, maybe a little musical suggestion for Ryan A. Mudd, give us a call at 615-737-1045. That's 615-737-1045. But now, I believe that we're about to go to Ned Michaels and his I Am So Stupid as it relates to Halloween. But first, why don't you tell us about Franklin American Mortgage?
Well, first, that might have been the greatest segment introduction ever in the history of Global Golf Radio. That was amazing. Your timing was impeccable, Barney. I am so stupid, but I am smart in one regard, and that is because I use Franklin American Mortgage Company when I refinanced my house a couple of months ago. Barney, they've been locally owned for people that I've known for 20 years. We play golf with these folks. They do so much philanthropic work in Nashville and throughout the state of Tennessee. They're good people. They know what they're doing, and I trust them with my house, my biggest investment. 1-800-295-1020. You can find them online, www.franklinamerican.com. Franklin American Mortgage, it all begins with home. And this...
Have you gone to the dealership and asked if anything's wrong with your car lately?
No, but that is pretty stupid.
Now, for those who don't know, was the infancy of I Am So Stupid, as I recall. It was either the first or the second one when my friend, Ned Michaels, a man that the BBC trusted and wanted on their team for the coverage of the Ryder Cup in Paris, a year or two ago, goes to a car dealership with a perfectly fine working vehicle and more or less says, could you find something wrong with it and see if it could come out to about $1,500 to $2,000? And guess what? They did.
They exceeded expectations.
That's you right.
You went back for a second trip, didn't you?
Well, the second one was because some part of the engine blew up. And then they said, hey, here are the things you need to get fixed. And they were the exact same things that I'd already gotten fixed.
Or so we thought. And that's how I Am So Stupid got started.
It was either that one or the one that I knew that Tiger was going to sign with Bridgestone
yeah.
weeks before he was going to sign with Bridgestone.
Take no action. And just so don't do anything.
Right. Yeah. Why would you buy any stock when it goes up like 4% when
No.
That's because I am so stupid.
That's right. But now we have a new and a recent.
Yes.
I'm so stupid.
Well, you're the reigning champion. Let's just be clear.
Now we're not going to replay that story.
You are the reigning champion. So this one does have to do with my home, speaking of Franklin American Mortgage Company. About 2 years ago, I didn't like the way my yard was looking. So I've fired the company we had doing it. And I hired a guy who used to be a superintendent at a golf course.
Very nice.
And for about 4 months, it was amazing. I wanted to go out and take divots out of it, but I was like, don't anybody touch it. And then this guy vanished, Barney.
Uh-oh.
Just gone. Couldn't get in touch with him. Never came back. Nothing. I paid him the whole... Like, he just never came back. So I said, well, I'll do it on my own. So I aerated it myself. I seeded it myself. And over the past 2 years, it has turned into a complete puke hole. There is 14 different kind of grasses. There's weeds. Everybody's in my neighborhood looks pretty good to great, and mine just looks absolutely awful.
That's where the Michaels live.
Right, that's right. I wish this guy would do something about his yard. So I finally decided to do something about it. I engage a new company. They're going to come out and aerate and seed.
They need to be a new advertiser.
It's also a good point. They need to be a new advertiser. So they come out. I want to make sure they do a good job first. And they aerate, they seed, and I say, hey, you can throw a little extra seed to this thing. It needs a little help. Sure, I can do that. Throw a little extra seed. He said, now make sure you water. You got to put a ton of water on this thing. So this is like 9 in the morning. I water the yard all day. I've got the sprinkler going literally all day, Barney. Like it lift clean in place kind of torrential mud under. You know, so you got these big clumps of mud, and it's basically a bog. What's probably the worst day that you could possibly choose to do that? Where you would have, say, 200 people walking through your lawn.
Happy Halloween!
I am so stupid.
So well, that's one way to stop those little kids.
Every kid that came up to our doorstep is looking at their shoes trying to get this cat litter cement mud off, just scraping it all over our front porch into the house.
There, hey, Spider-Man, get off the scene!
I am so stupid.
Beautiful.
Oh, Bryson DeChambeau is not stupid, and he's going to leave the flag stick in. What do you think? When next year the rules change.
I think he's not.
Man, I got to tell you, your stories are something else.
I mean, I was so proud of myself too, Ryan. Because here I'm like, finally, my wife's been just on me. Like, our yard looks terrible, and I'm thinking the same thing. And I'm a professional golfer, for goodness sake. You should have a perfect lawn. And it's terrible. So I'm finally, I've got my peacock feathers out. I'm so proud of myself. And as I'm reeling the sprinkler in, my wife pulls in. She's got two bags of candy in her hand. And I say,
suddenly you realize, is that Halloween? Is that tonight?
Yeah.
Didn't we have that last year?
Of all the days. That's where I end up. Are you kidding me?
Oh, gosh.
Right.
Oh, man.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Anyhow. So,
well, maybe it'll be dried up by next Halloween.
I am curious. No. I'm still watering it. I am curious about this DeChambeau thing with the flag, though, because he talked about, like, what the flag's made out of and the coefficient of restitution, whatever, like, how hard it's going to bounce off. And I totally agree with him. I just didn't know it had a name. I just called it how much a ball bounces off the flag. But I'm curious to see who's going to leave it in, who's going to leave it out. And we've talked about, I think it's going to help people putt better.
Really?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because think about this. You've got a hole in the ground that's hard to see, especially if you're far away. And there's nothing to really shoot at. Okay?
Now, you've got to know that in this frozen moment, your credibility on just a little bit about anything is a little shaky right now.
I've got a lot of holes in the ground in my yard.
I've got visions of you having half of Williamson County, having to get a new pair of shoes.
I'm telling you, you cannot imagine. Like, kids were 4 inches taller when they got to my front porch than when they started walking on my lawn.
They're suddenly making a calculation. Man, this Kit Kat, I don't know.
Right.
My shoes are gone from this Kit Kat.
It's the kind of stuff you can't, once it's in your gravel or your whatever you call the stuff you have on your porch, it's there.
Thanks a lot, mister.
Yeah, see you later. Both rugs on each side of the porch. Oh, total disaster. So, yeah, I think if you put a vertical target into a hole that's in the ground, I think you're going to have people making, naturally, they're going to be inherently better shooters of the ball or putters in this case. I mean, I really generally think you're going to see people putt better. Guys who have struggled with the putter, I think you might see them do great.
Generally speaking, I would say the same thing for chipping. And if anyone has any opinion on it, you're welcome to give us a call at 615-737-1045. But typically, I would say like on a chip, on a downhill chip, you could talk me into keeping the flag in the hole. And on an uphill chip, kind of optional. But at least on a downhill chip, if you have any concern that the thing's going to run away from you, there's a chance that the flag, I'm not expecting the ball to go in the hole, but there's a chance that maybe the flag can slow it down if all of a sudden this thing starts running away.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the diameter of the flag is critical. And every course, you know, you've been over to Scotland and Ireland and places where it blows. I mean, the flags can be smaller and thicker, and you're not going to putt with it in there because the hole's the same size. People are also concerned about when you go to get the ball out of the hole with the flag in it that you might damage the hole. And will that slow down play? So a lot of interesting factors. And what if you want it in and I want it out and we alternate putts and that could take a while. And now this year we're allowed to tap down everything, or excuse me, next year, January 1st, we're allowed to tap down everything on the green that isn't a natural blemish.
But again, goes to show that Bryson DeChambeau, evidently his brain is wired to try to think of everything. And evidently in what he does, he has gained a tremendous amount of confidence in what he does. But I have every reason to believe that everyone else on the PGA Tour would literally be exhausted to try to try to even keep up with him. And evidently all the different calculations that float around in his brain.
It's going to be interesting to see, because I've gotten to know his caddy, Tim Tucker, pretty well, and have some good conversations with him and text back and forth and a little bit with Bryson. These guys carry like 4 yardage books with them, Barney. You know, next year they're changing what can and cannot be in the players' yardage books.
Yes.
So how will that affect him? For sure he will figure out a way to have it be a positive for him, where all the other players aren't going to go through the work. This Tim Tucker, I'm telling you, this guy is out there working his tail off.
I bet he is. And I'll tell you one positive, playing golf in the state of Mississippi. And so, folks, if you're planning a golf getaway, do what myself, Ned Michaels, who's an expert lawn waterer, evidently, and Bob Mueller, we like to do, and that's go play golf in Mississippi.
Right?
And yes, they have world-class seafood. And in fact, evidently, they've got fabulous chicken as well.
They do.
They just had a PGA Tour event there. And did you happen to notice that the logo of the tour event is a chicken? So they've got world-class seafood and chicken. So they've got all the bases covered. And, of course, with fabulous golf course like Mossy Oak, Old Waverly, Fallen Oak, Dancing Rabbit, and you also could have put a sports bet on the Titans that, lo and behold, they won a game. Holy cow! Who saw that one coming? And so, folks, you can do all of that and so much more, and all you have to do is go to visitmississippi.org.
Our man Craig Ray's got some money on Snedeker to win the Masters 75-1.
Yes.
We'll see. And hey, there were two crazy bizarre rulings at Q School. One on the women's side, one on the men's side. The one on the women's side is something that we have to talk about.
We have to.
Let's do it next. Global Golf Radio brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
And again, from the Ryan Amon playlist, and suddenly we've lost Ned.
That takes me back.
Ned's playing air guitar.
That's straight to high school right there. That's flannel shirts, baggy jeans, and some type of brown leather boot. Can't remember the name. I think it might have been the original Timberland or something like that. That's a good song. Good music. Good pick. Hopefully a good show. Hopefully you're enjoying it. Because we are. We're having a good time. 615-737-1045. It is Global Golf Radio. You are Barney Allery. That is Ryan A. Mudd. I am Ned Michaels. Get involved with us. We're brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Before we get to Barney, the interesting rulings at Q School, I just wanted to say thank you for your comments on the video that we did with the USGA and American Express. They kind of nicknamed it The Journey, and it's 2.5 minutes. We spent all day filming this thing at the Legends and the Little Course, the Golf House of Tennessee, with my two kids, and they did great. I cracked at the end, yelled at the producer, and then had to apologize profusely. But the kids were awesome. It's just about how the game of golf is handed from one generation to the next. And I was fortunate enough they let me voice it over and be part of it. And it's turned into something pretty special.
Yes, and then as a matter of fact, you're involved in several USGA little video clips. How many is that on you now? Yeah, I'll put the over-under on about 10.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to get to do stuff with them throughout the year. Their championships, U.S. Open, you know, with Ewan, our man Ewan Porter.
Ewan Porter.
Ewan Porter. And also get to do the rules shows with them. Going up there in 2 weeks to do the rules show. So everything moving to the new rules of
but
next
this
year.
This particular one to involve your two beautiful children is really, really, really special. And so for those who haven't seen it yet, I strongly recommend you go to usga.org. And so Ned does the voiceover and stuff. And then there's some footage. And then there's some different scenes with Ned and his two beautiful children. And how long ago was this tape? Three, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah, about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
And evidently looked like an absolutely gorgeous day. And how long did all this take? About 8, 9, 10 hours?
Yeah. 9 a.m. I got there, picked up the kids. We filmed a little bit before they got there, game planned. Picked up the kids early from school at 12:30. We were filming by 1. And the first scene we did was they were eating hot dogs.
Yeah.
And the little girl says, oh, it's perfect. And they do the whole scene. It takes about 20 or 30 minutes, and they each eat a hot dog. No problem. Well, we realized that I had put a pink cap on her, grabbed it on the way out of the house. This is another. I am so stupid. It was a Ryder Cup hat.
Not a European Ryder Cup
Not
hat.
Not a European Ryder Cup hat.
Thank God.
But who puts on the Ryder Cup? The PGA. Who's the video for? The
Uh-oh.
USGA.
Whoops.
Ruh-roh. So we got to do this over. Fortunately, the producer caught it. Otherwise, the whole day could have been a wash. But we had to do the hot dog scene over again.
Are you telling me she had two hot dogs?
It ended up housing hot dogs for like an hour and a half. But it really was a wonderful experience. And to have the video now forever.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure that your mom and dad as well.
Yeah. One of my good buddies said it's going to be really nice to have that video when your kids are teenagers and they hate you.
But
so,
no,
please
again,
check it out.
For those who haven't seen it, I'm telling you, you've got to go. And again, I'm extraordinarily proud of you.
Thanks.
And it's beautiful, and you're doing great.
Just trying, you know, one rung on the ladder at a time.
It's amazing how much you've grown and learned from hanging around with Ryan A. Mudd.
That's it. But you do think about all the way back to global golf, or all the way back to Golf Talk America.
Yes, and congratulations, Frank Bassett, for his birthday. The winner of the 1904 gold medal
in the Olympics.
In the Olympics, yes.
He's 157.
That's right.
All right, we've got just a couple minutes. Really bizarre scenario at the LPGA Q School.
Yes, but one thing that's not bizarre is hers and his. Mm. And so, folks, hers and his cares a lot about the safety of their customers. Consequently, they've got letter vehicles and uniform plumbers. They can take care of all of your heating and air and plumbing needs. That's hers and his. You can contact them at 615-254-5750. That's 615-254-5750. You can also find them online at www.hersandhis.com. And how much confidence does Ned Michaels have in hers and his? He sent her to his mother-in-law. He sent her to his neighbor. That's confidence. That's hers and his.
And that is the truth.
That is the truth.
Mm-hmm. Up next, pit reporters. I finally said it once.
That's right.
Okay.
But she's got a strange ruling with a young lady, former NCAA champion.
Go ahead.
Well, and evidently, it seems that she hit a shot a little astray, and it seems as though her mom, who was a little further down the fairway, it seems as though her mom picked up the ball that was out of bounds and kind of tossed it back in bounds, to which her daughter, a young lady by the name of Doris Chen, and she goes ahead and proceeds to keep playing the ball, and at this point, it's undetermined. I will for sure give her the benefit of the doubt that she did not see the mom move the ball. And of course, I don't know what kind of a distance we're talking about here. I don't know if we're talking about just a few feet or if we're talking about 30 or 40 feet, enough to have some degree of suspicion that, wait a minute, how'd the ball move like that far over? But in the meantime, it was then discovered and found and decided on that, no. Well, the mom got involved, and there was a breach of the rules.
The neighbor came out. The neighbor whose yard the ball was in came out and said, that lady moved the ball.
Yep.
And then the caddy, and the thing that really was interesting, I thought, and was definitely had some red flags going off. Again, we will really never know the truth. Only the mom will know. Is that the caddy said, well, let's get a rules official in before you hit this ball. And she still went ahead and played it before they brought a rules official in.
Yeah.
So she was disqualified.
So to all the moms out there, don't do that.
I love you guys. Global Golf Radio. We'll see you next week.